Today is the 26th and last Sunday after Pentecost, and the epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you, and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains, and he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child, and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath, for there shall be then great tribulation, such as has not been found from the beginning of the world until now. Neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If they therefore shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. When you shall see the abomination of desolation, he that readeth, let him understand. And these words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, one day our divine Savior and his apostles were walking through the great city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was that magnificent city, the center for the Jewish people at the time of our Lord. With a population of tens of thousands, it was the largest city in the Holy Land and the most famous city in the East. And one of the reasons for this was the great temple, which stood in the center of the city, that most sacred site for the people of Israel, the holy tabernacle where the sacrifices were offered to God. As one author puts it, the extent and magnitude of the temple with all the surrounding temple buildings was most impressive by anyone's standards. The sanctuary with its golden temple house, with the beautiful outbuildings and gates, the great courts and the majestic porticos. In fact, one historian who lived at that time describes the temple. He says, its exterior had everything for the mind and the eye to admire. The roof was covered entirely with heavy gold plates. And at sunrise, it was seen from afar with such a fiery splendor, this magnificent temple, as to dazzle the eyes of the beholders, as though they were gazing at the sun itself. We could just imagine what it would have been like at that time to see such magnificent buildings and the holy temple. It was indeed a precious place and one of the wonders of the world at that day. And so our Lord and his apostles were leaving this temple and the city, probably after spending some time there in prayer. And as they were walking past the buildings, the apostles, of course, were admiring and pointing out to our Lord the extent and the magnitude, the beauty of the temple buildings and this great city. Look at how amazing all of this is. They were pointing out that the city with its wonderful edifice and the temple, its beauty and its magnificence, it seemed worthy to last forever. But our divine Savior took the apostles aside, his disciples, and he said to them, see all these great buildings? And he said, there shall not be left a stone upon stone that shall not be thrown down. Our Lord foretold and he explained to his disciples that Jerusalem with its temple will be completely destroyed. And the apostles, having all this in sight, could hardly believe what our divine Savior was saying, that this kingdom of God could actually be destroyed. But my dear faithful, this did in fact happen. Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed as our Lord had foretold. In fact, about 40 years after our Lord ascended into heaven, the Roman Empire came through and completely demolished the city of Jerusalem in a most tragic and most brutal way. And this was actually a punishment. It was a punishment to the Jews who did not accept our divine Savior, our Lord, as their true Messiah and their Redeemer. But rather, they crucified the Messiah, crucified their God. And God also allowed this terrible destruction to show to all that such grandeur and splendor is passing. All of this that the apostles were admiring would pass away. Earthly splendor and magnificence is really transitory and it's very brief. And all the worldly things is of little worth in the sight of God and in the sight of all things. See, it's interesting, but the apostles had the idea that Christ would take Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, for his own, and that he would establish his kingdom and his army there. They thought that his kingdom would be a worldly kingdom, and they thought that they would be princes and rulers of Christ's magnificent kingdom. But we know, as Christ told Pilate, that our divine Savior's kingdom is not of this world, but his kingdom is rather a heavenly one. And so in the Gospel of today's Mass, our Lord reminds the apostles and us as well of the abomination of desolation. He reminds us of the destruction of the temple, the end of the world, and all material things. And he warns us, my dear faithful, not to set our hearts on worldly things, not to be fooled by the seeming wisdom and the peer pressure of men. He foretells the destruction of Jerusalem, this earthly paradise, so that he might draw our eyes and minds to regard and desire, rather, the magnificence of heaven, Christ's true eternal kingdom. And so, my dear faithful, let us listen to Christ's warning, which is very fitting for us today. And it is so fitting for us today because we live in a world that has literally turned its back against their Redeemer by ignoring his commandments. We live in a world that is infatuated with self. Self to the pleasures of this life, as though those things were the only point of life. And very many follow these things and become attached to these things at the price of breaking the commandments and by sinning. My dear faithful, we live in a world that is distracted with the things of this world, the things that it produces, the entertainment that is so readily available, and the enjoyments of life, as though life here on earth is its final paradise. My dear faithful, we could very easily get caught up with the spirit of the world. We could very easily become attached to the things, the gadgets of the world. We could fall victim to the deceits of men and of the devil. And our lower passions and nature can get the better of us, and we could very easily become attached to sin. Or very many struggle with sadness, with anger and anxiety, especially when we meet with difficulties and crosses, because we think that their life here on earth is supposed to be paradise, when in reality, we live in a valley of tears. That's why depression and, sad to say, suicide is on the rise. It's ever increasing as we go on in life because people have nothing to live for. Many people do not know God, or they ignore him. They have turned their backs on him, and they think that their life here on earth is it. And that if it is filled with sadness or trials, then life on here is not worth living. And my dear faithful, this can, to a certain extent, happen to us. We can become so attached to the things of the world, to our comforts, that we end up living for the things of the world and forget about God. But we have to remember, my dear faithful, that we were not made for this earth. We were not made for the things of this world. But we, my dear faithful, were made for greater things. When we were baptized, we were made heirs of heaven. And we were made to be with God in everlasting peace and happiness for all eternity. That was the purpose why God made us. The purpose of our existence. And so St. Augustine reminds us that our life here on earth is actually just a simple journey. It is a journey towards the heavenly Jerusalem, our home in heaven. You see, we are all travelers, trying to make it to the heavenly kingdom. And even though we have begun the journey, we have not, my dear faithful, yet reached our destination. And sometimes we even forget about our destination. And sometimes we don't realize that not everyone reaches this destination, but only those who persevere and work at it. And so our step towards this heavenly Jerusalem are, of course, the love of God and the love of neighbor. Our steps are in the practice of virtue, keeping the Ten Commandments, and receiving the sacraments as often as we can. Our strength is in prayer, true devotion to our most heavenly Mother, and praying her rosary every single day. This way, this journey calls for the strong. It will not have the slothful. And we must really strive to reach our goal. And since we are so weak, we must really have confidence in the most sacred hearts of Jesus and Mary. At every turn, the devil tries to ensnare us. He will turn us from our journey, make us forget about it, and make us forget about our goal. And the devil tempts us through fear and through desire. Desire by alluring us to pleasures. If the devil finds a man who turns away from these temptations of the flesh, then he very often comes back and he tempts this same soul through fear. And he tries to make this soul anxious so that we lose confidence in God. But whatever the world or the devil may promise, my dear faithful, remember that the kingdom of heaven is far greater. Whatever the world or the devil threatens you with, remember that the gates of hell is far worse. If you struggle against sins, especially sins against impurity, Saint Augustine reminds us, and he says, to desire the eternal life that God has promised you. That means that when you are threatened with temptations against the sixth commandment, against the virtue of purity, think about how by even one unforgiven mortal sin, we will lose the reward of heaven. But also remember that by running from this temptation and turning to Our Lady in prayer, and by fighting this temptation, you will gain eternal reward. We must really desire to gain heaven, and we must remind ourselves of it. Because this determination and this desire to gain heaven at all cost closes the door to the devil. Remember, my dear faithful, that in heaven we will see God face to face. We will see our most blessed Mother. That alone is worthy of going to heaven. And we will be in the company with the angels and the saints. We will be united to our family and enjoy everlasting peace. But in order to get to heaven, we must really desire to attain it. We must desire it over the things of the world, money, possessions, or whatever it may be. There's an interesting story where one day a certain gentleman approached St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri was a priest who lived in Italy in the 1500s. And he went up to St. Philip Neri and he asked him if he wanted to be a great cardinal and to have a cardinal and to have a high position that offered lots of money and comforts. But St. Philip knew that such a thing would be dangerous to the salvation of his soul. And so he answered this gentleman, he said, "No, I prefer heaven. And so, my dear faithful, let us too prefer heaven. Let us prefer heaven over the things of the world and prefer heaven over sin. And if we persevere in our journey towards heaven, turning to our Lord and beseeching Him to give us the strength that we need, we, my dear faithful, can be confident that we will enjoy everlasting happiness with Him for all eternity. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.